name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Matthew chapter 14, Jesus, who had been praying alone on the mountain and sees the disciples struggling on the water, and they think he's a ghost, says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." When Peter begins to sink and says, "Lord, save me," and Jesus grabs him by the hand and brings him back into the boat, he says, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they are in the boat, they worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says to you and me, just like he said to Peter and to those in the boat, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." What are the things of which you are afraid? Are you afraid of another person? Are you afraid of what people think of you? Are you afraid, if you're a student, if failing a class? Are you afraid of an overbearing boss? Do you have fears about your job security? Is there some dark secret in your life that you are afraid might be revealed? Are you afraid of making your spouse angry? Do you have a cancer scare in your life or in your family? And are you afraid because of the choices that your children have made, bad choices, and the consequences that they might have? We all have fears. The question is, how do we handle those fears? In the Old Testament lesson in Job, God foretells that He, the Creator God, who made the waves and the seas, has power over all of creation. The proud waves of the springs and the deep waters must obey the voice of the Lord. And that the waves did obey the voice of Jesus as he walked on the water and enabled Peter to walk on the water. And he took their fears away as long as they were focused on Jesus. So today, Jesus, the Son of God, says to you, "Take heart and do not be afraid." So let us first look at Jesus praying for us on the mountain. See Jesus walking on the lake and how Jesus reached out to save Peter, and he also saves you. Jesus says, "Take heart, I am praying for you." Jesus went up on a mountain alone to pray. You see, the disciples and the crowds, we often don't realize and we forget that Jesus is praying for us. It had been a very long day. Jesus sent the disciples away across the lake on a boat. He dismissed all these crowds. And now, because of the incessant demands upon him, he wants to go to the mountain alone to pray. We are like those crowds often. We go through life acting as if we can handle everything just fine on our own. We are completely unaware sometimes that the Lord sees every move that we make, everything that we do. And we at times are completely oblivious to the plans that God might have for us. But Jesus is praying for us. Jesus prayed on the mountainside. He went up on the mountain by himself alone to pray in the evening. How often don't we need those times alone? The world is so noisy. We need a quiet place to concentrate on God's word and to pray. And because Jesus is true God and true man, he also needed times like that. He prays for you. The Bible says Jesus is our intercessor and our mediator before the throne of God. He is praying for you, just like he prayed for them. He prays for you and your family and your loved ones. He prays for you and intercedes for you wherever you go. Be comforted in that reality. And remember that as Jesus prays for you every day, when you are in distress, don't stress out. Pray to Jesus, who prays to the Father for you. When you get up in the morning, adore God for who He is, confess your sins, give Him thanks for the day, and bring your supplications to Jesus, who prays to the Father for you. And when you go through your day, be confident that Jesus is with you all the way, every step of the way, because Jesus is praying to the Father for you. So take heart, do not be afraid of what the day holds, because the Christ who prayed on the mountain is still praying for you from heaven. The second thing we see in this text is Jesus walking on the sea or the lake. The disciples and we are terrified by many things we cannot understand and of which we are afraid. The disciples were a long way from the land, out on the boat. The wind and the waves were beating against them. They were going one direction, and the wind was blowing the other direction, pushing against them. The fourth watch of the night. I understand what they experienced, because one time in Ohio, my friends and I went out on Lake Erie in the sailboat, and in the middle of a storm and the waves and the winds, the tiller cracked and the rudder floated away, and we were helpless. And I thought we were going to drown. Of course, we were teenagers. None of us had life jackets on. We had taken all the flotation out of the boat, and we thought we were dead men. And a guy came along with a motorboat, shaking his head, and hooked onto the boat and towed us to safety, and the boat was completely filled with water by the time we got into shore. And so I understand this terror of thinking, what's going to happen to us out in the wind and the waves? But then they're even more terrified when Jesus comes walking across the lake and they think he's a ghost. Things terrify people. Some people are terrified of spiders. Some people are terrified of things that might happen in the future. Some people have so many fears that they're afraid when they're not worried about things, because things can't be going this well. But the Lord Jesus, who came to them walking on the sea, he wasn't a ghost. It was the real Jesus who spoke to them, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus, in a way, hid himself. He was walking along. Maybe he wasn't even going to stop. And they thought he was a ghost. Jesus still hides himself and comes to us in ways we can't even fathom. Jesus hides himself but comes to you really through the humble preaching of pastors every Sunday. Jesus hides himself, but he comes to you under the water in holy baptism, giving you the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus hides, if you will, his body and blood under the bread and wine, but he is really present there. He's not a ghost. He is giving you his real body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. So don't be terrified about the problems of life. Take heart and do not be afraid. Take heart. Jesus is working out everything for your good. Take heart, even when you're in the doctor's office and it's bad news. Jesus is there. Take heart. Your kids will be okay. Things will work out at work because Jesus is with you. Jesus, who walked on the water, walks in these ordinary ways in our lives through his word and sacrament with us. And the third thing that happens in this text, for a lot of people, is the most exciting part of the text, is the walking on the water and the saving of Peter. But this Jesus who prays for us on the mountainside and who walked on the water and stands beside us has to save Peter from drowning. Peter and we are afraid. And because we have our old sinful nature, we have little faith in Jesus very often. Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you upon the water." Come, Jesus says. He walks in the water, and then Peter stops and says to himself, wait, I can't walk on water. What's going on here? And he stops looking at Jesus, and he looks at the wind, he looks at the waves, and begins to sink. When we cry out sometimes because of little faith and because of our doubt, we stop looking at Jesus, and we look at the struggles around us, and we take our eyes off of Jesus, and we do begin to sink. We realize we have little faith. We act as if everything depends upon us rather than upon Christ. But Jesus reaches out and saves Peter, and reaches out and saves you as the Son of God. Jesus reached out his hand, took a hold of Peter's hand, and brought him into the boat, and the wind ceased. It was calm as glass. At times when Christ has rescued you, it was in times when you called out in great distress. Think of all the times he has enabled you to recover from serious illness. Think of all the times the holy angels have watched over you so you didn't get run over by a truck or die. Jesus has been rescuing you from the day you were born until the day he calls you home, just like he saved Peter. And when they say, it is the Lord, and they called out, and Jesus came into the boat, and they realized it was Jesus, we do the same thing they did. They worshiped him and said, truly, this is the Son of God. Imagine the reality for them. This man who was a carpenter's son in Nazareth had walked on the water and had power over the wind and waves. They were absolutely correct. He is the Son of God. Did you know that's exactly what you confessed in the Nicene Creed? That Jesus is true God, very God, along with the Father, light of light. Yes, he was born of the Virgin Mary, but he is God with the Father and the Spirit. That's what you confess every week in the Creed. It's like you're in that boat, and you really are in a boat, this nave, this sanctuary, as you confess. You call out to him each and every day for you, for your spouse, for your kids, for your grandkids. Whatever tomorrow brings at work, he can make it a meaningful day. Whatever your kids are going through, God will help them graduate and get a job and make something of themselves as you trust God to take care of you and your children. He saves you just like he saved Peter. In conclusion, to be of little faith is to doubt Jesus and his word. To have great faith is to trust that the crucified Lord who was risen from the dead, by faith in his name, you will be saved. And you believe it, and you trust him. He is speaking, reaching out, and catching you, if you will, in holy baptism, in preaching, teaching, absolution, and holy communion. He is literally reaching out and grabbing you. And we literally fall down and worship him as a Son of God in human flesh when we kneel at the altar and receive Holy Communion. Have faith in Jesus. Believe his word. Take heart and do not be afraid. The key to having faith is not so much concentrating on your faith, but concentrating on the object of your faith, Jesus. If you want greater faith, you don't get up in the morning and tell yourself, I'm going to have more faith today. No. You have greater faith by focusing your eyes on Jesus more and more, the object of your faith. And the more you focus on Christ, the more faith the Spirit will grant you. As Paul said, we have a righteousness by grace through faith. We confess Jesus as Lord, and God raised him from the dead, and we will be saved. He has enabled us to confess, to believe that we have been justified by grace before the throne of God because of Christ's death and resurrection. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God sent preachers to you who preached so you could hear, so you could believe and call on His name. Today, rejoice, whatever your fears might be, rejoice that Jesus prays for you from heaven, that the one who walked on the water sends His angels to walk with you, and that as He reached to save Peter, He reaches out to save you. So you can rejoice in those words of Jesus. It's Jesus that said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." May that be a reality in our lives, to the glory of His name. Amen. Now may the peace that transcends our understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ.